If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
sifter.com.au.
Maybe you should just get better at menus though.
Just get good. Is that what they mean by get good? Just get good at navigating menu screens.
Just get good using a mouse.
Hi, welcome to Drop Rate, Sifter's review podcast. My name is Kyle Paletto, and we're here to talk Marathon, the latest in the rapidly growing extraction shooter genre by Halo developers Bungie. But before we get into that, let's find out what's been making the news this week with the top stories on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast.
Hi, I'm Kat John.
And I'm Fiona Bartholomaeus.
Here are the top stories this week on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast for Sunday, the 2nd of August.
GTA Online bans in-game gambling for Aussies. Let's get gambling banned. Full stop. Next.
Viral social game Mecha Chameleon has a rough week with dodgy malware maps and a Discord hack.
And jilted PlayStation fans plan to turn off PS5s to protest the end of physical discs.
Plus, we give you a preview of the most interesting games that are releasing this week.
You can get every episode of Walkthrough for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or on our website sifter.com.au every Sunday.
Join the Sifter community on Discord at sifter.com.au/Discord.
Joining me on the panel this week, we have Lizzie Award winner Chris Button and Sifter's executive producer and Lizzie Award loser Gianni DiGiovanni. Gianni, Chris, thank you so much for being here. Let's start with what's our general experience with extraction shooters, just for a bit of context. We'll start with you, Gianni.
Basically, only Repo and a bunch of those sort of friend social games. I guess that's sort of the extraction style game that I have played. So you collect a bunch of loot and try to get out. Usually they're not that offensive, so you don't really have things to attack with, is what I mean. So that's kind of the limit. But I have played a lot of first person shooters, and I've played a lot of Destiny, and I've played a lot of Halo and heaps of other sort of stuff. So yeah, that's kind of where I sit in the grand scheme. I have a bit of a toe in the water, but not a diehard.
I think the closest I've been to dipping into the extraction shooter, well, I wouldn't even call it a craze, because I think this is well before we have the current sort of wave of games like Ark Raiders, which is clearly very popular at the moment. But I think the only real experience I've had with sort of the gameplay loop of getting into a location, grabbing as much loot as you can, then trying to get out without losing all of your stuff, I think it was the first Tom Clancy's The Division game. I think one of the end game sort of raid, or the end game part of that, did have some extraction shooter elements to it, but I never really stuck with it all that often. But I've read plenty about Ark Raiders. I've seen plenty of stuff around, but Marathon, I think, is one of the first that's drawn me in, largely because of its very strong sense of style and aesthetics. So I was very keen to see what the extraction shooter, I suppose, phenomena was all about, and see if Marathon was one that would add to my regular gaming repertoire.
Yeah, I'm very similar to you, Chris. I've had a dip my toes in Tarkov, very, very limited, because you learn very quickly with that game that you basically need a degree in Tarkov to really properly enjoy Tarkov, or at least need a lot of spare time to really learn the ins and outs of it to get the most out of it. But I was absolutely the same as you, which in the sense that the aesthetic of Marathon is what grabbed me. A really, really strong sense of style. You're absolutely right. That I think makes it stand out in a sea of either kind of cut and paste fantasy or super hyper realistic, you know, modern shooter, you know, Call of Duty style.
For sure. That was one of the, you know, I think even Destiny I played a little bit of, and, you know, I've, you know, seen plenty of sci-fi, you know, high fantasy games out there, but Marathon, from the moment you boot the game up and from memory, you're just thrown into a barrage of all these cutscenes that are very dense in terms of dropping all this lore and background story onto you, some of which is a bit high concept and a bit difficult to get your head around the first time around. But everything this game does oozes style, and it has a very strong sense of place and being, which goes a long way to, you know, making that strong first impression that makes you want to exist in the world that it is, as hostile as it is, which I imagine we'll get into very soon.
There's nothing about this game which is generic, which I think is really cool. In terms of the actual design elements of it, I think it has a really consistent vision. And I actually even reckon, looking at the design of games like Destiny, I just don't even think that they're that as coherent as this one. The art direction in this game is really, really, really solid. And actually, I think it really helps as well, because every time you're kind of exploring the map, and you're often dead pretty quickly, but you're kind of really discovering these locations and these things and going, holy moly, the way that this world has been thought about, the world and the design of everything has been constructed, is really consistent. It looks like one that they've been like kicking around for a really long time to make a world that feels real. And I really am constantly walking into rooms and just kind of having my breath taken away and getting distracted. So I think that's really cool. I almost think that like world building and design of the world is stronger than many of the other elements, though. I would say there is some aspects of it where I think so much of this could be potentially simplified. I think in the menus in particular, and some of the other places as well, where, you know, the sort of the glitch aesthetic and also this really like over the top sort of like assault of the senses, hyper color design for the world can sometimes be a little bit too much. But as you're kind of moving through natural environments and then moving into sort of unnatural environments and seeing how those sort of things contrast between the two, that is where it's at its strongest. I think, you know, there are some bits of this that are going to be absolutely iconic and mirrored or copied outright for years to come. There's something really clever about the way that it's been put together.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to the UI in a moment. If we can just take a step back and talk story-wise, I agree that I found it to be a really engaging, pretty high concept for, you know, the current games market, which is usually trying to please as many people as possible, bring in as much people, not alienate as many people as they can. And this one doesn't seem to be really concerned with that. That being said, it took me maybe an hour in the game before I started skipping every single one of those cutscenes. Every time you unlock a new contract giver, every time it, you know, it goes in, I'm like, I know what I'm here for with these games. That might be a very personal thing. I know a lot of people really like having that story to motivate those rounds. For me personally, I don't need the narrative to buy into that 20-minute game loop.
Well, even the way that it's sort of delivered in the game, particularly because it's designed to be played with multiplayer in mind, right? So a couple of friends in a lobby chatting. Often you need to kind of like pause and get them to shut up so you can listen to an NPC talk to you. And then they're talking in the background. It's all kind of going over the cross. And it actually doesn't, you're not incentivized to actually sit there and listen to any of this stuff, because you want to skip through it to get to the next mission. That's kind of how I feel. I think that is probably a design, you know, limitation or like a consideration they should probably think. And I wonder if that will be changed down the track. We're in the sort of early stages of this. But as you said, like, you want to skip that bit, but it's kind of a shame. So it almost would be better if every single time you got one of these, they almost like sent you an email or something like that. You could go back and check while you're waiting for your friends to jump into the lobby, and something like that would be really much more consistent. I don't know about you, Chris, if you had a similar experience, but I felt like I was kind of, you know, losing time watching these very, very detailed, very cool looking lore videos that kind of pop up between different contracts.
I have conflicting thoughts on the way that Marathon presents its story, or it's less an explicit story. It's more of a providing context as to why you are going back and doing these runs and getting killed and revived over and over again. I don't want to skip these cutscenes because they look so damn cool when they're dripping in atmosphere and style and a strong sense of you know, knowing what Marathon wants to be in terms of this really hardcore sci-fi setting, leaning so hard into it that perhaps, you know, some might think, you know, it disappears up its own asshole at times. But I think it's actually, it's so compelling that the way how hard it commits to its setting, its aesthetic, and the delivery of its little narrative beats, or the various factions that you're doing contracts for that are competing against one another, have different interests. I really, really like that. But the point that Gianni made is what reminded me of one of the things that ultimately killed Anthem back in the day, which, if you may remember, that was the infamous BioWare-developed multiplayer shooter, which had some pretty cool things going for it, and again, a very similar aesthetic, but it was trying to deliver narrative beats or bits of dialogue and exposition to you while in the middle of a multiplayer party, which is just such a friction-laden experience that you're drawn in multiple directions. I want to hear what's going on in the story, but I'm playing a multiplayer game where I want to hear what my friends are saying either during a game or in between lobby when we're, you know, unwinding, getting ready for the next contract. So the delivery method, as strong as it is to absorb and, you know, be immersed in what it's putting your way, it's really incongruent with the multiplayer centric loop and your overall structure of Marathon. But it is very cool when you are playing solo, which I found oddly compelling in and of itself, that it is pretty nice to be able to, you know, just take your own time and take in as much of that storytelling that Marathon's putting forward. But yeah, when it's primarily a multiplayer focused game, it's that delivery method does create a bit of friction, which is a bit of a bummer, because for the story sickos who are really into the you know, getting into the weeds with this stuff, there's a lot to uncover.
And from what I've heard, those story sickos who do have the patience, you know, and attention span that I clearly don't, that have watched it, say that there's a lot there, and it's pretty interesting, and they're really enjoying it. And I will say that my skipping these cutscenes aren't from a lack of interest, or like you said, the style of them, they look great. I don't think they're even necessarily overly long. It's just that I'm so keen to get back into that gameplay loop, because it's just so fun to be in there. Could we just jump straight into how slick and satisfying the gunplay is, which is what you'd expect from, you know, the team that has been doing it well for a couple of decades now. I just find it to be so easily accessible, despite the difficulty, which we can get into. It feels pretty much like you can just drop in, get your guns loaded, and you just go for it. It's not overly complicated. There's no additional mechanics for loading and things like that. All of the more complicated stuff they have reserved for the user interface during the menus and things. Again, we will get
every
to
other
that.
Aspect of the game.
I'm sure. How do we feel about the basics of the gameplay, the gunplay?
Yeah, look, I really enjoyed it. I think, as you said, like the first person shooter bits of this game are exactly what you'd expect from Bungie, which have been doing this for decades now, right? So those bits all work really nicely. But can I say, actually, and tell me if you had the same experience, like moving between the different shells, the characters you can play in this thing, like kind of working out what the abilities are when you've changed, like how do you do that? I don't know without using them, basically. Is there a better way to do that? Sometimes they're on a long cooldown, but like I don't know if there was something I skipped through when it was sort of firing up, but some of that sort of stuff, I almost wish it would like show you a little, you know, card saying here's your abilities, like they do in Overwatch, something. Maybe I'm silly or something like that. But
the more complex stuff, there is definitely more in there, and that also you know, doubles in complexity again when you have all of the implants and the chips that are very specific for each of the shells and each of the special moves within those shells. It is pretty complex once you're in there. Some really fun stuff to unlock though. Chris, how do you find it?
Yeah, it's Marathon is an oddly hostile player experience, especially for when you start playing. And for those trying to get their head around the various sort of mechanics. And, you know, it's sort of like the class-based system with the shells that you inhabit with different abilities. You know, like you've got the healers, you've got the assassins, or the more combat-focused warriors. But other than a brief introductory sort of mission sequence where you are playing as the default, you know, warrior, military, foot soldier, infantry, whatever they're called. I've barely played as them. I've almost exclusively played as assassin because I like sneaking around. But other than that brief introductory sequence where it does walk you through some of the basics, you are left to try and figure out a lot of this stuff yourself, which, because of the high stakes and the tension that is so inherent to the extraction shooter experience, which Marathon again really leans heavily into, I find it really hostile to experimenting or trying new things. Like I would like to try and play as a different class or a different shell. But the fact of the matter is, because it does take a good couple of minutes most of the time to log into a match, that you might not even survive long enough to, you know, fire off one of these abilities to learn that. Yeah, it's really, really tough to get started. But I will say it is worth getting past that initial friction, because I have enjoyed what has followed, you know, beyond those initial frustrations.
Yeah, the cooldowns are incredibly long on your abilities. And so if you use them slightly incorrectly, there is quite a big amount of time you have to wait. And sometimes that might be like a gameplay balance sort of decision. But yeah, it almost would be better if there was like a training environment or something like that where you could just test it out. Even just like, you know, exactly how Overwatch has got. I usually, when a new character drops into that game, just jump into the training environment and just try out the abilities and go from there. So that's probably what I think it probably would need to kind of smooth that out for newer players, because there's just going to be, with this sort of game, like a skill gulf pretty quickly. And if you, you know, are still sort of learning the ropes, you're going to die a lot. And I think that's kind of the point. Like, I think it's fine, but I think it is one of those ones where it's like, maybe that could be made slightly more approachable for a variety of different players. And I think that might be something that might need to be addressed.
Yeah, the difficulty is a big talking point of this game. I think it's something that people didn't expect from Bungie, particularly in the current kind of climate of the industry, where a lot of really big budget games are not making it past their first few months and getting turned off. Like I said earlier, most of these companies are going for a really broad audience, and cranking a difficulty up to where it is at the moment with Marathon seems counterintuitive to that. I do respect it. I think it's a bold move for sure. But do you guys think it is too difficult for yourself? Not counting, you know, there's definitely, as you just said, Gianni, room for something like, I don't know, maybe keeping the easy perimeter map open for people that are finding it a little bit tougher. But for you guys personally, how do you find the difficulty?
No, I'm really good at games, so it's fine.
I think this may be at odds with what I've just said, but I think the difficulty is more or less where it needs to be. I do absolutely respect Bungie for, you know, going in a game that is hostile to the player, is tough to get your head around, is tough to try and master, because, you know, when you try and make something that's for everyone, you're ultimately making something that's for no one, or you're making something that's, you know, a mile wide, inch deep. You know, throw in various adages and cliches here, you know, one after the other. But the thing that I, you know, like about what Marathon does is, again, inherent to the extraction shooter formula, in terms of anything that you take with you into a round, or that you accumulate or loot while playing a round, you do so knowing that you are at full risk of losing everything that you have, you know, permanently. You know, there's stuff that you can keep in your vault, but, you know, if you keep stuff in your vault, then it's not doing you any good in the moment. But then again, if you take it with you, you're at risk of losing it forever, which there are plenty of, you know, robust ways to build back up your inventory or your weapon stash and various other equipment, you know, bits and pieces that you can acquire over time. But I think it is really, really refreshing to play something that isn't there to hold your hand all the way. And I had a similar thought to Gianni, where I thought, you know, perhaps there would be, you know, a virtual training ground or a virtual reality, you know, in-game thing where you could, you know, try out different shells, different classes in a sort of stress-free environment. But I think, again, this is a testament to Bungie's singular vision in terms of, if they were to implement that, perhaps, and this is pure speculation, perhaps they're worried that that would diminish this overbearing and oppressive environment that they're trying to create here. So there are some things that, you know, might be nice for some quality of life or to help with player onboarding a little bit. But again, I can see how every decision that's been made here is extremely considered and extremely deliberate, which is something that I really, really respect.
I think it's right that this game is really just targeting the most hardcore competitive people who really are super, super keen, right? I think casuals are going to bounce off. There's always something more interesting or different to play all the time. But the people who get, you know, the marathon gets its hooks into, they're going to stick around, and they're the ones who basically keep the lives of these games running. And so I kind of think it's like almost, as you're saying, that deliberate action to be like, okay, a bunch of people are going to bounce off this straight away. That's fine. They were never going to be the people that were going to keep this game going. But the people who really dig it are going to keep it going for a long time. So, you know, I think there's some aspects to this which I think, you know, could be potentially adjusted slightly. But again, I don't know. Maybe it is. This is the sales pitch for that game. If you don't like it and you bounce out within 2 hours and get a refund, but maybe that's correct. Maybe that's the right thing. Maybe the game isn't for you. So, you know.
And to add to that point as well, Gianni, I think the other thing that I think works in Marathon's favor is that, yes, it has a steep learning curve and difficulty curve for new players and getting started when you essentially have nothing to your name. But I think one of the things that Marathon does well and is a form of equalization is, in fact, the way that its different classes and abilities operate. Because I think, especially for someone like me who plays a lot solo, or, you know, plays with folks who, let's be honest and not delude ourselves, none of us are sweats. We're not Call of Duty, Twitch, you know, fast reflex players here. That's where I've gravitated towards Assassin, because it is a more forgiving class that lets you try and stay out of sight more often. Whereas, you know, for those who perhaps are more confident in their gunplay and, you know, winning a, you know, head-on-head firefight, there are the classes that specialize in that as well. So I think it's baked into the gameplay. There are some accommodations in terms of the different characters or shell types that, you know, allow for different types of play within, you know, what is still a very tough first-person shooter experience. But I do think that Bungie has still catered to a decent range of players, even though this is, you know, pretty hardcore.
The thought I keep coming back to is that this game knows exactly what it is, and it knows exactly who it's for, and I can't really fault it for that. It's a conversation that comes around more with games like, you know, FromSoft games like Elden Ring. Mm. Is it too difficult? Well, no, it is exactly what it is. And if that's not for you, then that's okay. But while we have mostly talked positive, there's definitely some things I would love to change. And as it's been mentioned a few times already, we've been skirting around it, the user interface and the upgrade system. Now, can somebody shed some light on this? Do we think this is a Marathon issue, or is this just the issue across all of these online season-based shooters or multiplayer games at the moment? How do we feel? Is this a specifically Marathon problem, or has it just fallen into the traps that all the others have?
Can I ask a clarifying question to help sort of frame some context as well? Kyle and Gianni, both of you played this on PC, is that correct?
Or... That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel my experience was even further hampered because I played exclusively on PlayStation 5, so on console, which... It looks fantastic. I'm playing on PS5 Pro, which looks fantastic. The game looks brilliant, but The control scheme for the user interface and trying to sort through all the inventory items and the loot that you collect along the way, because you've also got limited inventory space, so you've got to be very economical about what you do and don't pick up. But managing that inventory, especially with controller, which relies on using like the virtual mouse cursor using the control stick, man, it's not great.
No, the upgrade screen is one thing. It's a lot going on, pretty overwhelming, but not as far to move between each of the things if you're navigating with a controller. The inventory management, though, is ripped straight from all the others, Tarkov and everything. It's all looks exactly the same. I do not know how you would have any kind of efficiency with managing that system on a controller, which is just really surprising considering Sony is the one that has put this game out. Gianni, what's your feelings about it?
Yeah, look, I agree. I've been jumping back and forth between keyboard and mouse and controller, playing on PC, because I usually do prefer playing with a controller. The virtual mouse on a controller, like thumbstick, is terrible in every game, and I hate every game that ever does it. There's no point. Let it snap to where the locations are, please. So I don't know why they, have done it this particular way. And some of those menus, like, I honestly feel like, okay, I understand there is tension that's built in managing an inventory during an extraction shooter. You're never quite knowing if you're 100% safe, but there's something here that you need to grab. And so that sort of pressure is important to the sort of spike of drama while playing the game. But that being said, like, it really feels like an MMO. It really feels like Destiny does in many ways. It's like too many different currencies and things to collect in order to like work your way through every single little menu. And I don't love it. I just find that sort of to be broadly pretty boring to keep doing those sorts of things. And so, yeah, I guess it's just a design convention of these type of games now. It doesn't make it easy to kind of get your way through it. And I wonder, is that by design? Is it just that's what they wanted to appeal to people who are familiar with the genre? Yeah.
For me, it seems like they are copying a formula that was designed almost in spite of consoles. You know, some of these real sweaty online, PC-only shooters that go, no, we're not, we're above consoles. This is only for PC. This is a whole nother level. Our menu screens are going to be overly complicated. And now all of a sudden they're on consoles and they just haven't updated it. And it feels clunky. It's not fun to navigate, even on PC. Even after hours and hours, sometimes I find myself going, hang on a second, where do I go to get my contract? It's on one of these tabs, and within those tabs is multiple things, all the different currencies. It's messy. You shouldn't need a degree just to navigate the menu screens. Is there anything else negative that you guys feel about this?
On PC, I'm still fixated on the UI inventory management side of things. On PC, is it possible to select in your vault when you're back in the main menu, out of combat, out of all of that, is it possible to select multiple items in your vault and sell multiple things at once? Or you have to, even on PC, you have to do it one by one?
Unless I just haven't figured it out yet, and there might be people, absolutely screaming at their phones right now. But no, not that I have come across just yet.
Because that feeds back into what we were saying before about the delivery of the narrative and the cutscenes and increasing time between matches, especially for playing as a squad. And if you've got limited time to play a number of games in any given session, that's just another little layer of friction that increases time between one match and the next, which, again, I agree with Gianni. There's a lot of decisions here that Bungie has made which does deliberately add to the friction and the tension, but I don't think this is one that is necessary to the experience at all and is in fact detrimental, just holds up time, doing the best stuff, which
absolutely
is getting in the game.
Yeah. And
maybe it's just get better at menus though.
Just get good. Is that what they mean by get good?
Just get good at
navigating menu screens. I think one of the only other negatives I have about it is that the load times have been longer than I would have liked, which is okay. But one way to fix that would have been to allow us to hang out in the inventory management screen while, you know, while it loads in the background. That kind of feels like a no-brainer to me, unless there's some kind of specific technical issue with that. I think that would have been an absolute no-brainer. Are there any other negatives before we get final thoughts?
No, I think it's a really interesting game, and I think memorable is the most important part of this game. I think even, you know, it's any live service like this has a time limit. We know that's realistic. It's very rare that games run forever and ever and ever. A World of Warcraft is, you know, not that common in the grand scheme of these live service things. So, yeah, I think it is memorable, definitely. It made an impact on me, and when I first started playing it, I couldn't stop thinking about it. Like, I actually was just obsessed with the idea of being there, and so that is a really powerful thing, I think.
Yeah, that's very much same to me in terms of when I haven't been playing Marathon, I've been thinking about it. And it's not a game that I want to play all day, every day as my main game, but it's always there simmering in the back of my mind thinking about, oh, okay, how far away am I from unlocking this thing? Or what will happen when I, you know, acquire enough inventory or level up enough to, you know, try the end game, the cryo archive and all the you know, the different areas that have different little quirks to them, different difficulty levels and, you know, different things to try and learn and master as well. But again, it's that sense of place and that sense of being that Marathon absolutely nails, and so far removed from all the generic military shooters that, you know, you see dime a dozen every single year. This is something that it's an exciting setting, and it's a fun and interesting place to be in, despite all the friction. Or in some cases, because of all the friction, it's really, really interesting.
I think one thing I would change as well is that using the Rook character, which is the designated solo only character, the fact that you can't unlock any like quests, like can't finish any missions or tasks in that one, that feels like pointlessly hostile. I think some of those ones, because, you know, when you're building those quests through and you're kind of getting those free items in the store, which make your next runs easier, effectively leveling up your character, being able to do that in a solo context, solo is already pretty bloody hard in this game. Like if you're up against a team of three, you are basically Cactus. So, you know, there's enough of a balance on that, I think, which makes it seems sort of broadly pointless that you can't, you know, use that specific solo character to go and experience those quests and work through that storyline stuff. That would be an improvement, I think.
Well, it'll come as no surprise that I agree with you guys. I very much thought I would jump in and bounce straight off this, and similar to you, Gianni, couldn't stop thinking about it. Just wanted to get straight back in there as quick as I can. So definitely a highly recommend from me. If you want to hear read my full thoughts, head to sifter.com.au. We've just put up a full review of Marathon. Gianni DiGiovanni, Chris Button, thank you so much for joining me here on Drop Rate. Where can people find you if they want to find more of your work?
You can find me in the Good Gamer Lounge, where all those MLG pros are, and that's sifter.com.au. that's and the Sifter Discord is where I spend a lot of time. I love being in there. I love it when people come and chat to us and share their work. So sifter.com.au/Discord if you want to join. That's the place to find me.
And I'm the editor of Gadget Guy, so you can see a lot of my work on gadgetguy.com.au. And I hang out primarily on Blue Sky under the username Bibby Boy, which that's the username I am on most platforms. So you'll find me somewhere around the ether of the internet.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. That's Marathon from Bungie. Thanks to Sony for giving us a copy for review. You can pick it up now on PC, Xbox Series X or S, or PlayStation 5. This has been Drop Rate by Sifter, our video game review podcast. Thanks to Brian Fairbanks from Salty Dog Sounds for composing the theme tune. Sifter is produced by Fiona Bartholomaeus, myself, Kat Jahn, Naomi Jackson, Chris Button, and Adam Christou. Mitch Lowe is senior producer and Gianni DiGiovanni is Sifter's executive producer. That's all for this week. You can check out what Sifter is up to on socials at SifterHQ on all platforms, or hop into the Sifter Discord and have a yam with the team about what you're playing at the moment. That's sifter.com.au/Discord. Plus, you can check out our other podcasts. We have Walkthrough, which is our weekly news podcast, as well as Lightmap, where we talk to game developers, creatives, and people who are doing cool things in interactive media. You'll find all those on your favorite podcast app of choice. And if you want to have a read of something, you can head to sifter.com.au. There's articles, pieces, videos, and more. I'll catch you next time.
Hey there, Gianni here on Lightmap, Sifter's interview podcast. Mina Shamali from ABC Classics Game Show joins us once again to go back through the best soundtracks of 2025, and there might be a theme that connects them all.
It could be that composers are unafraid to write songs and bring lyrics to the foreground. You see it with a few dimensions, the few of these scores you're going to hear today. And not that it wasn't always the case, but I feel like composers have become more fearless around this. And I'm quite enjoying that, because it expands what it means to be a video game score.
You can get every episode of Lightmap for free on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can watch it on YouTube or head to our website, sifter.com.au.